Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12 to 17. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is the one thing needful. The one thing needful. Some things matter. Some things seem to matter a lot when we are young, and yet in later years we realize that they weren't very important at all. Other things just don't matter very much. And yet the unbeliever always has his priorities wrong because he disregards that which matters most of all. That is seeking the Lord and seeking the true wisdom unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The real Christian knows that this is top priority, whereas the unbeliever never truly learns it if he is not born again of the Spirit of God. We have seen that the excellence of wisdom, compared with the folly of sin, is treated at many points in this book of Proverbs. And we have also seen that sometimes wisdom is so personified as to become a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ fulfills what is said of wisdom. And he is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the wisdom of God. God speaks to men through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus he is called the Word of God. The Word was manifest in the flesh. That is the person of the Godhead by whom man is spoken to. And men are made wise unto salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. Now, this theme continues in these verses. Let us notice, firstly, wisdom is from God. Wisdom is from God. Verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The Lord himself is wisdom. All wisdom begins with him. He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord himself is wisdom. He is God only wise. That is, only God is independently wise. And he does not learn or acquire wisdom. He simply is wise. And his knowledge has always been absolute and complete. In that sense, he is the only wise God and our Saviour, because all wisdom amongst men is derived from him. God always knows the best and highest end of all things, and he has prudence to best achieve that wise end. All witty inventions, all right counsels among men are ultimately traceable to this God. And so in Ephesians 1, speaking of God's grace to us, wherein he hath abounded unto us in all wisdom and prudence, the wisdom and prudence could refer to God's wisdom and prudence manifest, or rather, his grace is manifest in bestowing wisdom and prudence upon us, so that we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is no wisdom, no real grasp of truth and reality, but it comes from God. And that's true even in practical things. How to achieve a desired end is something that comes from God. In Exodus 31, verse 3, we read, "And I have filled him," that's Bezaleel, "with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship." And you have the same thing in chapter 35 of Exodus and verse 30. "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." So there is no wisdom amongst men, no knowledge, no ability, except it comes from God. We have nothing that we have not received. And the scripture says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." When we desire to know the way that we should go in a particular circumstance, we are to ask of God. But we are to ask of God nothing doubting, not wavering, not as a double-minded man who doesn't know whether he really wants to know or not, because he's not really open to be told what he should do. But we should come to God in faith, seeking and knowing that whatever is right in his sight is truly wise and is in our highest interest as well as for his glory. Secondly, true wisdom is not ethically neutral. True wisdom is not ethically neutral. Verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Now we said last time that as wisdom is wisdom's beginning, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, so folly is to forget God. And we've impressed this, sought to do so many times, that in Scripture, folly is sin, or sin is folly. The idea of foolishness in Scripture is not just being inept, it is when we sin, we are foolish. And that's why in Psalm 52, as we mentioned last time, when the righteous see the ruin of the wicked, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but strengthened himself in wickedness and trusted in his riches." The absurdity of it all. So the whole godless thought pattern is foolishness. That's what folly is. The idea of thinking that we can be blessed without God, that sin is good for us and beneficial for us and needful for our happiness or our safety. Psalm 49 and verse 13. Psalm 49 and verse 13. Reading from verse 11. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honour abideth not, for he is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. The folly of not preparing for the one inevitable thing, death, and the judgment of God. That is the ultimate, the crowning folly, is to fail to prepare to meet God. To fail to prepare for the end of life. We prepare for many things in life, but none of those things are certain. But the end of life, well, that is certain. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And that's why the rich fool is a fool. Fool, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. That's why the scriptures say, fools, when will ye be wise? So if you are an unrepentant and unbelieving sinner, however wise you are in your own eyes, you are a fool. You are committing foolishness at the most basic, fundamental level imaginable. But those who are truly wise are those who fear the Lord, who have a loving reverence for God, and they have a loving reverence for God as forgiven sinners. Psalm 130, verse 4, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. We fear the Lord as forgiven sinners. We have a loving reverence for God as a result of being forgiven through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't fear God to be forgiven. We fear God as those who are forgiven, if that is the case, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And because the wise man, the only truly wise man, is one who believes in Christ and is justified from all things by the God of heaven, then that man is hostile to sin. And so our text says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The man who is truly born again and who trusts in Christ does have a hostility, a hatred towards sin. If you don't hate sin, you don't love God. And if you don't love God, then you're not born of the Spirit, and you don't believe upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a hostility to sin from the inside out. You'll see it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy, that's the inner working of sin. And the evil way, that's the walk in sin. And the froward mouth, or perverse mouth, do I hate. So that those who are born from above, who believe on our Lord Jesus Christ, They have a hostility to sin because it is against God. They hate it in its inward manifestation, in its outward effect, in words and actions. Do you hate sin? If you're a Christian, you have a hatred of sin. Therefore I love thy precepts more than gold, yea, much fine gold, and I hate every false way. The forgiven man is a changed man, as we said this morning, and that change shows in hostility to sin and all sin as dishonouring to God. That doesn't mean that we have no sin remaining. The Apostle Paul says, the good that I would I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do. For I see another law working in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me captive to the law of sin and death. But he talks about that which I hate I do. There is in the believer a fundamental antagonism and hatred towards all that is offensive to the God whom he has begun to love. Has your heart been changed like that? So that the universe, no longer do you see the universe as revolving around you. You see, this pride, this arrogancy, it stems from man seeking to be in the place of God. And the man who is born of the Spirit, no longer does he think only of everything in relation to himself. He thinks about God, the glory of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ. He cares that God is glorified, not as he should do, nor as he will do, but he does care about the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you undergone this blessed change? You've lost your life. You've given it up in the sense that you no longer say, it's my life, I'll do what I like with it. But rather, as a guilty sinner deserving damnation, you have learned to depend on Christ to take away your sin. And he reigns over you as your Lord. However inconsistent and imperfectly so. And that is surely true blessedness. It's part of the deceitfulness of sin, the lie of Satan and the corruption of our hearts, to think that blessedness is in sin. But man is blessed when he knows his place before God. Man is blessed when he has a right relation to his Maker, when he knows that he's not God, that he's not the be-all and end-all, but he knows the God who is and is at peace with him. That's blessedness. The ungodly man strives and strives to find satisfaction in sin, but he can't find it. He loves sin, but it doesn't satisfy. That's its nature. Even for those who love sin, it doesn't satisfy the soul. Only the God who man by nature hates, only he satisfies the longing soul. But then thirdly, Christ is wisdom and can give it. Christ is wisdom and can give it. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. God has made known his wisdom in Christ. Christ says to sinners, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. Our Lord Jesus did the will of him that sent him. He was meek and lowly of heart, in that his esteem of himself, his estimate of himself and of what he must do, was entirely holy and right. Christ in the gospel shows you where wisdom begins. He tells you what you need to know, that you're a sinner, that God created you and God will hold you to account. He tells you these things for your good. He counsels you with wisdom. And our Lord Jesus teaches the way of salvation in himself. He came to lay down his life and to give his life a ransom for many, to bear the wrath of God in the place of sinners. And he declares himself, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is wisdom, and he teaches wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It is wisdom to listen to the wisdom of the Lord in his word, concerning himself, concerning ourselves, concerning the way of salvation. Wisdom is preparing for the inevitable in God's way. Prepare to meet thy God. That is wisdom. Fourthly, our rulers are fools. Our rulers are fools. Verse 15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now, this could be taken in different ways. It could be taken that every ruler who rules, rules by the providence of God, that his position as a ruler is one that comes about in the plan and purpose and providence of God. And of course that is true. He exalts whom he will and gives the kingdoms of the earth to whom he will, even to the basest of men. Or it could mean that rulers rule by divine institution, that he has appointed that there should be civil rulers. But neither of these best fits the context, because you'll see, he says in verse 15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. In other words, it is by wisdom, the wisdom that is from above, that any king or ruler does what is right. All right government comes from the wisdom of God. Now, it follows from this that rulers like all men, but rulers as rulers, considering how to rule, that they should seek wisdom from above. We were singing in Psalm 2, be wise now therefore, ye judges of the earth. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. When Samuel kissed Saul, it was a recognition that he was king. Kiss the Son. Acknowledge the kingship of our Lord Jesus. Be truly wise. Not just as individuals, but in governing. In Acts 4, that same psalm, the earlier verses are applied to Pilate and to Herod and to the Jewish leaders plotting against Christ, against the Lord and against his anointed. And they did so not just as individuals, but as rulers. Therefore, the latter part of Psalm 2 is telling rulers to be wise and to kiss the Son, not to oppose him as Herod and Pilate and the Jewish Sanhedrin did, but to kiss the Son, to acknowledge the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is telling us that for rulers to rule rightly, justly, they must have this wisdom. And it is therefore their duty to seek that wisdom. In Psalm 82, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Gods there is used of those to whom divine authority is given. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of their course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit the nations. The rulers, though they be like gods in having God-given authority, they will die like men. And to judge righteously, to rule righteously, they must bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, personally, in repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and publicly in their government of a nation. But our rulers walk in the light of their own eyes. They think by looking statesmanlike and speaking with confidence and declaring their policy the right thing to do, that will make it the right thing. But it won't. Whenever it is said it's the right thing to do, the question arises, who says so? If God doesn't say so, then it's the wrong thing to do. And no amount of hype can alter that. There is one lawgiver, that is God, and rulers are to be a terror to the evildoer, and for the praise of them that do well. Who defines evil? Do we just make it up as we go along? Is it a matter of human consensus at any given time? No, it's God who defines evil. And to be a terror to the evildoer, there must be the acknowledgement of the authority of God to define that evil. That's not to say that ungodly rulers do not sometimes punish real evil. They do. But to go back to source and definition of evil, they must seek the wisdom from above and the counsel of God's word. According to this text, rulers who don't are fools. We are a nation of fools, governed by fools, loving darkness rather than light, staggering along, groping for the wall. We look for light, but behold darkness. Fifthly, early seeking is urged. Early seeking is urged. Verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Early seeking is urged. I love them that love me. You might say, what is this? Work salvation? No, of course it isn't. There is in God a love of benevolence, a love to the unlovely, grace, favor to the undeserving, a love of benevolence. And that love of benevolence, in the outworking of God's sovereign purpose in election, it results in the renewing of the heart and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and forgiveness and holiness of life, and the Lord takes pleasure in the work of his own hands. John chapter 14 and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Electing love is free, sovereign grace to the undeserving and unworthy, a love of benevolence. But the Lord loves with what is called a love of complacency, a delighting love. He loves the effects of his own grace in his people. I love them that love me. Christ, as wisdom, loves those who are wise. And it is wise to seek wisdom and to seek it early, individually. Perhaps you agree with all that's been said about the rulers, but let's not stop at the rulers. We can all speak against our government and those in authority, but what about you? Are you wise? Have you sought wisdom from God, from above, in Christ Jesus? If wisdom is to be sought in Christ, then it is wise to seek it early. It is never too early to seek Christ. Never too early. The young should flee to Christ and seek wisdom in him. But suppose you haven't, and now you're an adult, perhaps middle-aged,
or older,
and you've played the fool all these years. You've played the fool and ignored Christ. Well, then you must seek him now and not add foolishness to foolishness. The time past will suffice to have reveled in the folly of unbelief. It's time at last to be wise and to seek the Lord. So be wise now, for though this encourages early seeking, it does not prohibit late seeking, and you must seek the Lord. Seek him according to his word. Seek him and come to him confessing that you have been a fool, going on in your sin, too long the worker of iniquity. And seek forgiveness from the all-wise God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek him. Learn of him. He tells you, learn of me. Listen to me. Seek me. Seek him early. And if it's now late, seek him still. None who seek him shall be turned empty away. Amen.